All right, so it is 6 o'clock.
All right. Very good.
Martin, I'll hand it over to you to get everything going, and I'll do roll call, and then we'll just continue on with the workshop.
Okay. So we'll go ahead today. March 3rd, and we'll start with the roll call.
Yep. Robert?
Present.
Brian?
Present.
Martin?
Here.
Lloyd is absent, and so is Kelly. And then it looks like you guys need to do approval of minutes.
Not most of them approved the minutes from February 3rd, 26th, as written.
All right, we have a second. Are we on?
Yeah, go ahead. It's just hard to hear. You guys are good.
Minutes. Minutes look like everybody had a chance to look at them, so.
Yep. So did you get, yes?
All right. So then we'll go ahead and.
You had a motion on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got him.
I need, yeah, we need to.
We need a second.
Oh, second, yes.
With that, the minutes are approved or seconded. We need to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And we have a couple absents, so the ayes carry it. Next thing on the agenda is our 2026 comprehensive plan update.
We got you double. You should be up.
Okay. Okay. So we'll open the comprehensive plan update. So.
Great.
All right.
Thank you. Good evening. It's good to be with you. Glad we're able to be here in person with you this time.
I see that.
Instead of virtually. So tonight we're going to follow the same format as we did at the February workshop. You've been given 5 more updated sections for the comprehensive plan. You can even see they have the comments and the changes in them. So you've got all the homework that's been going on behind the scenes to update those documents. And so I'm going to walk through just each one of them, but first we'll just do a quick review of the timeline. So we're here obviously in the spring of 26. We've got this workshop tonight. We'll probably have one more in April. There's a possibility we may also have one in May, early May. Depend upon how much progress we make on a few of the outstanding items that I'll go through here in a minute. And then we'll, before we go on, and then we'll also, just to kind of look ahead, we'll also be starting the public review process later in April. And also sending the draft plan, draft climate element, the updated development regulations to the state agencies for their 60-day review. All that happens in April, May, and into June. And then we'll start the process of all the comments we received, all the responses, and updates to the documents. And you'll be receiving then those updated documents later in the summer. And starting the hearings, considering your recommendations and the official adoption process. And hope to have this wrapped up with your part and to the commissioners by the end of September, maybe October if we need that time. I think we're shooting for September. To the commit. Okay, so we're looking end of August. So I was a month off. Thank you, Greg and Damian. So we've had public input throughout the process. I'm glad we have some members of the public here tonight. So tonight we're covering the draft elements, natural resources, parks and recreation, economic development, capital facilities, and utilities. And I would say that some of these were just lightly updated, as you might have seen if you looked at the draft documents. And some of them had a little more extensive update, but fundamentally the same strategies are in place for each of those. So we'll walk through the highlights of natural resources, and then I'll ask you if you have any questions about that section, that element, and the edits that were made, and then we'll just go to Parks and Rec and proceed that way. So next slide, please, Brittany. Next slide. So in the natural resource section, as I mentioned, all the changes are tracked, comments and responses, all of those are in there. We updated the description of agricultural uses to broaden that description, make it consistent with the latest definitions. We added more detail on the mining and the mineral lands and resources. And we've mapped all of the gravel operations and rock quarries and stuff throughout the whole county, and updated the description based upon the latest information from the State Department of Natural Resources. The Conservation District has, since the last update, approved a groundwater nitrate management plan or action plan. And so we included a reference in there for that plan as something we're supporting to protect groundwater quality and also to clean up groundwater quality in areas where we've got high nitrates. We updated the rural water supply program. The last go around, it was a proposed program, and now it's being implemented. And so we updated the text to reflect that. Probably the biggest change in natural resources is we expanded and updated the discussion on the Department of Fish and Wildlife's priority habitat and species. Data and the different information sources, there's a shrub step data set that we also have that we included a description of. We talked about the open space memo that we developed and the areas like along the Horsehaven Hills, and some of those areas where there's wildlife corridors. And so we talked about some of the goals and opportunities that the county has to preserve habitat and also provide that habitat for species, and particularly focus on shrub step. In that section, we also talked about the DNR land. You remember the 270 acres that we've applied to DNR for the county becoming an ownership and bringing that into the Badger Mountain, Candy Mountain set of properties that the county owns and receives volunteer labor for to develop and maintain those. So that's also included in there. And then we also talked about the draft mitigation program that we're developing and proposing as part of this update process. So that's the natural resources element highlights. Or do you have any questions about anything that was in there in that section? Let me just look. So Lloyd's comments, I just want to remember if he said anything about natural resources. So just to kind of, and I think you all have a copy of this. So if you go to the third page, natural resources, he just talked about a few different things that he had some questions on, a couple question about one of the references. I'm not going to necessarily, and then he had a few little editorial changes. Nothing really of, I guess, you know, like policy changes proposed in these comments, but we're going to go through and verify that our edits are reflected with what he has in here, and where we need to update, we'll make those updates. So, you know, he talked about sources of information, the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan, and like I say, a lot of that was primarily edits in that section, but I just wanted you to be aware of that and kind of capture it in the meeting notes and the discussion, the recording, that we're going to address his comments and we'll update the section accordingly based on his comments, and also get back to him with the updates that we made. And I would say probably out of all his comments, like 90% of them, we're just going to update as he suggests, or add an updated reference. There are some parts where our conventions for editing are different from what he proposes as changes. So in those cases, we won't update them, but the document will be consistently edited. And maybe one more thing, the drafts that you have are not like ready for the public, right? In terms of their drafts that are final, they've been tech edited, they've been final formatting, all of that. These are working drafts. And so that's why you see a few little edit things that need to be happen, that need to happen, but haven't been cleaned up yet. Any questions on natural resources or Lloyd's comments? All right. So Parks and Rec. So the county parks plan, comprehensive parks plan, is supposedly going to be approved maybe by the end of June, it sounds like now. We'd hoped it was going to be done earlier, but we can still work with the June date. And we're going to adopt that plan by reference. And that plan has the DNR property in it as well. So we have that plan that we adopted. So we updated the discussion about what's in that plan. Again, in this section, we also added the DNR property being sought and some of the purposes for it. We added a new section under future considerations titled open space preservation. And so we're trying to really further emphasize that that's going to be a priority going forward. Those lands that have been identified, if there are partnership opportunities, grant funding, conservation easements and other tools that can be used, again, in partnership with our local nonprofits that are also interested in that. We want to try and enhance open space preservation throughout the county. And then we talked about, you know, how the Parks and Rec improvements at, you know, the various parks and things are part of the county's capital facilities plan. That's a GMA requirement that we wanted to make sure was very clearly met. And that's about it for Parks and Rec. Probably, you know, other than the new section and the DNR property, there wasn't much new added into that section.
So got a question. So this is, yeah, this is an overview. Are you actually going to go into your changes?
I wasn't planning to. That's why we provided those to you guys like a week and a half or so ahead of time.
Okay.
But I do have them up.
I just had a question.
Yeah.
Was all your table 8.1?
Yes.
On page 165.
And you're in the parks?
Yeah.
Let me just get there really quick. I got them all open here, but they're small tabs. There we go. Okay. So page what?
165.
165. All right.
I don't know if you've got it.
Okay. Got it. So Greenway Connections or?
With the
table 8.1,
the table
public 8, river shore land 8. Ownership.
1, yeah.
Yes.
So in there, I was just curious, is that correct with the Fish and Wildlife? They've got 10 acres, but they've got 25 miles of shoreline.
That doesn't seem
plausible to me.
That is a great point. That's a head scratcher to me. Yeah, that can't be right.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe we're missing a couple zeros there or something.
Yeah.
A couple placeholders. Yeah.
Well, I told you, we leave in some kind of softball things for you guys to find.
Yeah. Yeah. You might check all those because I'm just kind of curious on ours, you know, we've got 765 and 5.1 miles, you know, so something like that. I'm just looking at it. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Some of this is existing, but I thought Adam made some updates to it. So I'm gonna double check that. So I do know, like, actually the Benton County seems more accurate to me between Hoover, Two Rivers, and Horn Rapids. Because you've got shoreline and then you've got quite a bit inland, right?
Right. I could believe ours, but I was having a hard time with it.
Yeah, yeah, no, WDFW, that's a great catch, and we will check on that.
Those are existing numbers.
They're existing numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that was my only comment I had. I don't know if anybody else has.
Great. We're going to do an update of that whole table.
Okay. That's it for me.
All right. Any other questions on Parks and Rec? All right. We're going to be a short meeting tonight. So be good. So economic development, we actually did a lot of changes in economic development. There was a bunch of kind of historical detail and redundancy and stuff. We tried to trim that all down. And then there were some documents that we wanted to make sure we referenced. The county developed a economic development plan that was approved in 2024. So we've got that pulled in and it'd be adopted by reference. Same with the comprehensive economic development strategy that gets updated periodically by the Ben Franklin Council of Governments. We integrated the industrial lands inventory and energy overlay analyses and those associated memos. I talked about all the details that we trimmed out that just was really kind of dated. And I don't know if you remember, but prior to the last update, this thing read like an encyclopedia, the comprehensive plan, and it was hundreds of pages longer than it is now. I may not have been aggressive enough in trimming the economic development element last go around, but we took care of it this time. We also talk about the role of ag and tourism and Hanford cleanup and also diversification at Hanford, and then industrial development as part of a diverse economy. Agritourism and Plymouth industrial development provide an opportunity to help the ag economy. We haven't given you our memo on agritourism yet because we're working on it right now, but we gave you the information on Plymouth and the industrial development. You know, agricultural has been, it's had a last kind of rough past several years between droughts and lower market prices. It's been interesting that the work that's going on in Plymouth is to trying to give us and the producers in Benton County a more of a competitive advantage. The Ag Reserves flaking facility that has gone in, there's some additional cold storage facilities. There's new packing plants going in there as well. And there's plans for additional rail lines and rail loops to be able to take more of the product that we have and reach other markets using rail and maybe also potentially rail to, you know, a shipping port and barge as well. So even though there's some challenges, Plymouth creates a pretty good opportunity in largely already disturbed land for additional industrial development and commercial development and fabrication and things that could go along with the work that's down there. And it kind of also takes advantage of the growth and development, all of the server farms that are happening on the other side of the river and all the associated economic development, industrial development on the Oregon side. There's an opportunity to take advantage of that as well as the facilities that are being developed in that area. So we had quite a bit of discussion about that opportunity in the economic development element. Questions on the economic development element?
Let's see. Definitely looks like there's a lot of potential there.
What's that?
A lot of potential for the economic development side in that particular category.
There is in the Plymouth area. Now, there's still ongoing economic development around the Tri-Cities, right? We didn't take that for granted, but what we've discussed in the past is still, and what's in that 20, between those two strategy documents, the Tri-Cities is pretty well covered, right? The Benton County part of the Tri-Cities, but the Plymouth stuff is not really reflected in those documents as directly. And so that's why we beefed up the discussion in the comprehensive plan. So, and again, Lloyd's comments are just a half a page and they're primarily just kind of questions and a couple edits.
Okay. All right. Noted, right?
Yes. Well, noted, and we'll make some updates.
All right.
And some of them are like, hey, I guess I might look and see who's operating the Walter Clore Center today, but we didn't say who is operating. And anyway, we'll still look into it. Every comment's valuable, and we want to make sure if there's something we need to update that we update it.
Yeah.
All right, capital facilities. So I'll just tell you that the biggest changes in capital facilities happened in the capital facilities plan that the county adopts every 2 years. So we have the capital facilities element, and it describes what the requirements are, but it it adopts by reference a two-year capital plan that the update, that the county just has a rolling update on. And in that document, I worked with Robert Blaine, and we updated and made it the linkage more directly back to the comprehensive plan and the areas where we want to, where we plan to see growth and development and coordination with the cities and all of that. So most of the work that happened on this capital facilities happened in that other document that we adopt by reference, which will just be out on the county's webpage. But we did do some other things in this section. We emphasized the coordination with the cities on capital facilities plans and the UGAs. We did that, but I will tell you, there's not much other than roads to coordinate on, because they don't extend utilities into those until they're ready to annex them. So we're coordinating on capital facility plans, and it's basically the county road plan for that area is the point of coordination. Table 191, we have kind of the latest information for school district, fire districts, and utility providers. Lloyd did have a comment that some of the fire districts information is blank, and it's blank because we didn't receive information from them on that. But what we'll do is maybe put like not applicable or something like we'll fill in the box so that it doesn't raise the question. So it's a good comment.
Were those smaller districts? I saw one of them was like Prosser or in the Prosser area. Is that yes. correct?
Yes. Right. Yeah, actually, we caught all the fire districts.
Right.
And there is some discussion after that, which was some interviews with the fire districts. Those were from the last go around, but we're doing that second round of interviews as part of the Wildlands Urban Interface memo that we're putting together. And so that information is going to come out, and it's going to get incorporated into that memo.
Yeah.
We also added in the importance of considering environmental justice as the county does capital facilities planning. So areas where like road improvements might go in and could potentially displace maybe some affordable housing in the county, or, you know, and create issues that might be disproportionately impacting maybe an ethnic group or lower socioeconomic area. So the county needs to think about that. It's current per some recent state law. So we added in some considerations for that, and also for climate resiliency, and then expanded the capital improvement plan description and trying to remember what that, I think I might have had a row that went onto the other, well, into the banner. So, this is the integration with the capital facilities plan. So this is what I talked about at the beginning, the capital facilities plan that the county updates every 2 years. So right now we're working off of the 24 to 26 plan, I think, and Robert's going to start the next plan with the commissioners this fall. Anyway, that integration is what I had, is what the bottom bullet was. So capital facilities, any questions about capital facilities? There's a lot of information there.
Yeah.
And Lloyd also has some comments in here about like some suggested fire risk reduction activities. So we're also going to capture these in that Wildlands Urban Interface memo that we're working on right now. So we'll put his suggestions into that document. And last but not least, this one received the fewest changes. We added in wind and solar energy because there's been a lot of that going on. A lot of projects are in development or proposed. So the energy overlay memo that we developed, we pulled in information from that. And then we made some other minor edits. You probably didn't know that we now have 6 satellite management agencies that can take over failing water systems. In the past, it used to be just 1 or 2. City of Richland and others. Now there are six organizations that are approved to serve in Benton County. And then we updated the plan references, for example, to the solid waste management plan in 2023 and a few other things. And again, Lloyd had a few suggested updates and I looked through those and they look pretty good. It was minor. Like he suggested, we make sure we don't take out telephone. I think I had, anyway, yeah, well, telephone/cellular service as an update, so we can make that update. So any questions, discussion on the utilities section?
There was some discussion in there, it looked like with Plymouth and one of Finley and Whitstrand, was that right? Of possibly having a, wanting a public water system and that might be a possibility down the road because it'd be more economically feasible. Is that correct?
Yes. So there has, so Patterson, Plymouth and Finley, some residents, there are some that don't want it either. So we just noted that there's an opportunity there, you know, and I don't know if that's come up recently, more recently. I mean, that's an area where maybe we need to just verify if that's still an interest.
So if
yeah, that's in section 10.73.
Right. It was 10.73, 10.72. And my question was 10.72, if they decide to have an SMC, then would that, who would handle that? Would they typically, with the municipality, that would they, or actually unincorporated municipality, would they go ahead and do that themselves? Or would they, the county do it? Or would, I mean, county wouldn't do it, right? Okay, so then they would have to get a satellite management agency to do that.
Yeah, so they can come in and do that. It has to be a DOH approved. They have to be in like failing, you know, just are not able to meet the requirements. And then I don't know the process exactly how it works, but basically they put out a notice to all the approved satellite management agencies providers, and then see if any of those are interested in coming to take over the system and bring it up to standards and compliance. And then if they are willing to do that, once it goes into receivership, then they basically assign that to that agency, and that agency then takes over all the billings and, you know, covers their costs or the utilities or the rates of that utility. Yeah. Or did you say this, if all six decline, then the county gets it?
I know the Department of Ecology is really a stickler on that kind of stuff. You know, they.
Well, this is actually Department of Health.
The Department of Health.
Department of Health is over the water systems. Right. But they're also a stickler, and for good reason, right? You want to make sure that people have safe drinking water. And so if they're not treating appropriately, you know, if the lines aren't being disinfected right, with enough chlorine and all that, you know, it can be a real issue. And right, we've seen places throughout the country that have poor water systems that, you know, right, make the press. So, right. For public health.
Rob was just talking about getting the process started. You've got to have water rights. So they got to start there first before they even go into the Class A water system.
Yes.
You know? And so, I mean, so they, you know, if they can't get the water rights, they don't, it doesn't get off the ground, then everybody's back to a well, but
yeah,
private well. So,
right. Yeah. And I think all of the Group A's that are in the county probably do have a valid water right now. It may be what they have on paper doesn't necessarily match what they actually use. There's always sometimes a little bit of a discrepancy, but municipalities can grow into their water rights, even if they're not being used right now. And some of these are probably kind of quasi-municipal systems.
Okay. All right.
Good question. Discussion.
Other comments?
That was the end of my questions.
All right.
All right.
April, Planning Commission Workshop. You get the last batch of items. And maybe some draft memos. The April meeting is probably going to be a little bit longer because we're also going to go through the critical areas code changes, and that is going to be one where I'm going to show you in the document kind of what the changes are, not every change, but major changes. Like in that one, we've updated all of the wetland delineation requirements and rate how you delineate and rate a wetland for function. We've updated the riparian management zones to be a minimum of 100 feet everywhere in the county, whether there's a steep slope or not. I'm just preaching the choir back here. We made a lot of other changes to that document.
Well, I like the process that you set up for the low, medium, or high, and being able to go through there and determine how you want to go about doing it. The framework for doing that, I thought was good. So we'll go through that and see how that shakes out.
Yeah, we've done a lot of updates. We're also going to have the latest and greatest on the shrub step mitigation program that we're working diligently on. And we're also reaching out to Forterra about that, which is a land trust organization that has a Moses Lake office and is doing more and more work in Eastern Washington and even here in the Tri-Cities, working with Badger Mountain, Friends of Badger Mountain and Tapteal, right, on some easements for you guys. Friends of Badger Mountain, Save Our Shorelines in Pasco. So they've got a local presence and we're gonna explore what they might be able to do to help the county. And it's all very early. We're also talking to a couple other organizations, but we're trying to nail down a land trust that can help with the conservation easement and kind of ongoing monitoring into the future.
Okay.
So lots of good stuff coming. We also are gonna have a workshop on agritourism. Hopefully by the time before you the next workshop, and so we'll give you an idea of what those changes are that might be made. I mentioned the Wildlands Urban Interface memo. Damien and Greg and their team are working on a lot of little cleanup items for the county other county development regulations. So we'll have some information to share on that. And then if we stay on schedule and you're give us kind of the green light to, yeah, let's take these documents out for public comment. It's not to prove, but take them out to, you know, get more official comment. Then we'll start that the state agency review. And like I said, addressing the comments July and August and your hearing, and then recommendation to the county in September, county commissions and action from there. So that's where we're heading.
Right.
Any questions on that?
A lot of reading.
Well, we're giving to you in bites, right? So it's not like you have to like read the whole thing again like it's the first time. You can kind of go through and maybe focus in on particular areas that you're interested in.
I do have a question. It isn't really on any needs, but it was just a point on the your draft map folio.
Yes,
that you have. There's 12 maps there. Okay, the very last one. Okay, I noticed it's the fault. It's the one for the faults in the area.
Yes.
Okay, but in that you also list the mineral.
Yeah.
Okay, I was noticing that you didn't have the Tri-City Rock mineral withdrawal on that map.
Okay. Where that is that one?
397. It's fairly new.
Oh, and Locust?
Locust Grove.
So the one that's east of
Olympia in about 3 miles, 2 miles maybe, mile and a half, something like that. Yeah.
East of Olympia?
90 East, yeah, east.
It's not the one where I-82 and 397.
Yeah, 397 takes off. You've got one right on the corner of I-82.
Okay.
Okay, that's American Rock.
Okay.
Then you go to Olympia.
Yep.
And you go past that and you've got a big pit there. Okay, and I'm sure they've got to have some kind of withdrawal and everything else there.
Yeah, surprising because we grabbed the DNR layer that's supposed to have all of them on it, but we'll check it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. That was my only, you know, I looked at those maps and I mean, they were interesting, lots of information on all of them.
Yeah.
And I also would be nice if you had a glossary of acronyms, you know, what they mean, where somewhere on the map or somewhere, you know, in a separate document there with the maps that you'd be able to look them up. Because there's a ton of acronyms and I didn't know.
That's a great point too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you going to ask?
Was it out by the old landfill?
Yeah. What's it? Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's a county, you're not talking about the county gravel pit that's at the top of Olympia Hill.
Yeah, that's. I think the county needs.
Okay, okay. So that's in the city of Kennewick. So that's why, well, I'll double check it, but.
It's right there by the Benton County's got a gravel pit there too.
Yeah.
And it's just right below the Benton County gravel pit. And I didn't see that one also itemized.
Yeah, so if they were inside the city limits, we didn't map them.
I don't think either one is.
Okay, okay, all right. We'll check it. Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So that was it. That's for me. So anyway. Brian, you got anything?
No.
Is the one by the fairgrounds, is that listed on there?
I'll check.
Okay, because I know that we are decommissioning and getting rid out of that one.
Okay.
And so there are the plans for that land? Is what I've been told.
Bottom of it?
Yes.
All right.
Is it active right now?
No.
Okay.
It hasn't been for a while.
That's what I thought.
I think they were trying to
Water right. Yeah. Gotcha.
I think it's stuck in paperwork right now.
Okay.
Right. All right.
Okay.
More discussion in April, right?
Do we want to see if we have any public comment?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
We do. We have anybody here? Public comments?
Okay, did you have any questions based upon what you heard tonight?
My concerns is
okay.
Is.
So we need to come up to.
Yes. It would be. Can you move up to the mic?
You need to state your name, come up to the podium if you're gonna, if you want to. Okay, state your name, address, and then we'll be happy to.
Okay, I think that's right.
I don't know if you're on.
Yes, 22-53.
Go ahead.
Houston Avenue, Richland, Washington. So I have a comment about the parks and rec part. I was looking at the markup on the page, and it said that the Horn Rapids master plan is basically, well, it says there's a Horn Rapids master plan, and they're going to do three CIP projects based on that. Well, there is no Horn Rapids master plan. I did a public records request, and they said, this doesn't exist. They're working on it. And I already knew that. But I needed to show that. So you can't, so how does it work to where there's going to be three improvements done in
Blue Rapids Park. And it says there's a master.
Yeah, so then, so the projects we got off of their capital improvement plan.
Okay.
So.
Not out of the master plan.
So maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we need to be re-recorded.
We need to verify and update that, but the projects I understand are real.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm okay with that, but you can't, you know, where's the public, you know, where's the information that, you know.
I think I understood there was a master plan, so.
Yeah, there's not.
Okay.
There is not.
Great, thank you.
One of the other things was the, one of the big worries is the fire issues as far as fire breaks.
Yes.
And I can send you some best available science from the USGS that it will help with the fire breaks and the different science, you know, science that's accepted that they are looking at fire breaks and do they work? Because I'm understanding there's quite a bit of pressure from the local fire departments for people to put fire breaks around their property. And that's not necessarily, it's looking into that is really good, would be really good. So I'll send you.
Yeah, please do.
The USGS information that, that I was given.
That would be great, Lauren, because we are working right now on the Wildlands Urban Interface memo and some updated strategy recommendations.
Yeah, okay.
And there's a whole larger effort that the state DNR is.
So you do that.
Okay. Okay. I'll,
That's it.
Great, thank you. You'll have to.
Yeah. Patrick Paulson, 2253 Davidson Avenue. And this is something else I've already found in the capital improvements. And it's, H182, I think this is probably just a wish list from the fire district. Fire District 1 says that for fire breaks, it'd be great if changes in conservation reserve program rules would allow fire breaks down to the dirt. And I have an idea that that's not going to be possible because that's a federal program. They probably won't allow it, but that would be bad as far as if it's conservation area, it shouldn't have all the vegetation.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. We have anybody else for public testimony on online or anything?
Hey, look.
Oh, there we are. I couldn't see back there. Sorry.
I'm Debbie Berkowitz from Richland. And so it was more, I mean, I've got comments on it, but they're diffuse at this point. I haven't written them up for you yet.
Okay.
I was just wondering, in terms of the documents like the energy overlay and the open space document that we talked to you about,
yeah.
I don't know, last August or September, I don't remember. We're having a hard time tracking. Are there new documents, revisions to those, or are those still the same that are on? We assume they're still on the comp plan update.
They're still on the comp plan update page, and they're the latest versions of those. Yeah.
So yes.
Revisions.
Some have been revised, and some haven't.
That's right.
Okay. Is there? Are they in track changes, or are they just all new documents at this point?
Which specific, so there's so many documents out there. Which are you talking about? Those two specifically?
There were a whole bunch that we had read at the time. Those are the two that I remember off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, so some of those have not changed very much, if at all.
Is there a way to tell? Is there a date on them?
Yes, they do have date revision. So, you know what might be the most efficient is for you and I to get on a Teams call or something, and I can just show you the latest versions and we can walk through this. Yeah, the latest versions are out on the website. The history, I'd have to go back and double check because we had an initial batch that we got done in June to meet the state deliverables requirements. And then we did some cleanup of some of those documents and further revisions based on questions and comments.
I totally lost track, so I.
Yes, yes, but I can, and I don't remember. I mean, I can't. I don't know. What do we have? 30. We have 30 documents out there, 20 documents or something.
Yeah, at least 20, 25, and the latest version is what's out there on the website. Side note to that is the presentations, like these presentations that have happened at the workshops. Those are also on the website. I saw a lot of screen captures and Fast and Furious note taking tonight. These are all out there on the webpage too, so you have direct access to those.
Those are under Planning Commission.
Those are under our 2026 comp plan update page, and we can show you that tonight. We can, after the meeting, I can show you where that's at.
So it's been revamped. Make it a lot easier.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you say you revamped the wetlands delineation, was that based on ecologies?
Latest guidance.
Latest guidance, and also for the wetlands in general? I think they have the latest guidance on.
Yeah, we expanded the different types of mitigation, updated mitigation ratios. You know, they're updated for like enhancement. This is restoration. So all of those, and the comments we got from ecology were, there weren't really any comments on that section. They're like, you nailed it. They just had a few other little kind of cleanup things. So their comments were not very extensive. And the comment matrix that Laura's working on has those in there. It's just not ready to put out yet, but we're working on that too.
Okay, yeah. And I have some of the same concerns, I think, about the wildfire.
Yes.
Interface, the, yeah, and how, yeah, that's.
It's a balance, right? Because you want to protect the habitat values, but also protect structures. So it becomes kind of it's a competing interest, right? And so it gets a little messy there.
It is, but it's also, you know, protecting structures. And it depends on where the structures are and what's on the land.
Yeah.
Because if you have good short step habitat, then mowing it will make things worse.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anyone online? No.
Nope, there's nobody online. Was there any clarification on any of the statements that the public made for you guys, or?
No. Probably not. So.
Alrighty, so all right. I think if
so,
we don't have any more questions. You're welcome
that,
to
go ahead and close. Close this public part of the hearing, and so anyway, I think we're, are we done? Ready to? We don't have any comments among ourselves. Not now. Oh, yes, sir.